are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock, your host, here with you once again. We are here on a Monday. This is a Rapid React podcast talking about Sunday's loss at the Kansas City Chiefs, 38-27 Chiefs, the final in Week 3. And the 49ers lost a whole lot more than a football game. And we'll get into all of the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, pending an MRI on his knee on Monday. And so if you're listening to this podcast on Monday afternoon, you might already have the information there on the prognosis for Jimmy Garoppolo, and the team is fearing it is a torn ACL. So we're going to get to all of that later. Notes, takeaways from the game, and some game balls, if there are any, in this matchup for the 49ers. I do want to remind everybody to follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook, an Instagram page. So anywhere you want to go to find Locked On 49ers, we are there. But if you want to get involved in the mailbag segments, the best place to go is hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. Tons of talk on Twitter already about what's going on with the 49ers after that Week 3 loss at Kansas City. Also, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're everywhere that you can find podcasts. And tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. And if they're not a fan of the 49ers, that's okay. Let them know that they are covered here on the Locked On Podcast Network with their very own podcast for their team. Oh man, so much to get to with this game, and I've got all these notes, but the Jimmy Garoppolo thing is just a cloud over all of it right now. And if Jimmy Garoppolo is done for the year, that changes the complexion of the entire season, the entire franchise. Well, we'll get into all that. That'll be the third segment. We'll do all the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, and I'll get into that. And I do have some thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, if the team didn't really believe that he had a torn ACL and was going to be done for the year, they wouldn't be putting that out there post-game. Immediately, they're like, yeah, it's probably a torn ACL. They're not going to say that unless they really have a good idea. So that could be confirmed on Monday. Maybe there's a miracle and Jimmy Garoppolo is not hurt as bad and he will be returning at some point this season. But at this point, it doesn't look like even if you get good news on Jimmy Garoppolo that next week it'll be anybody other than C.J. Beathard starting at quarterback for the 49ers. So more on that later. Let's get into this game a little bit and how it went down and the 38-27 score, which I don't think it was even honestly that close because... And the reason I say that, and look, the 49ers made it a game late, but they were sort of chipping away, and they were moving the ball down the field at will, but it was slowly. And they were running the ball, and they had success running the ball. But at that point, when the Chiefs go up that big, and it was 35-7, 35-10 at halftime, they don't care if you can run the ball. They hope that the 49ers come out in the second half and just run the ball a bunch, because that helps them shorten the game. And Andy Reid is... Of all the old school coaches in the league, he's, you know, sort of a newer school mindset of the old school guys, right? But he's still like, let's get a win. Let's shorten this football game. So in the second half, they definitely took the foot off the throttle a little bit. And it did allow the 49ers to get back into the game a little bit. But they weren't trying to be aggressive and chuck the ball down the field as much. And they started running the ball more. And they were fine with letting the 49ers... chip away and move slowly down the field because they knew that time would eventually run out and they wouldn't be able to get all the way back and get all the way up to the score that they needed to get to win that game. So Andy Reid, a good coach. That offense in Kansas City is absolutely humming right now. And after watching that game, I wasn't sure about Patrick Mahomes. I knew about the arm talent that he had. And I marveled at that before the draft when he came out of Texas Tech, but he's the real deal. And props to Andy Reid. He has him developed up in his second year, his first year as a starter, and that team is humming. He's got a ton of weapons, which helps. I was impressed by the offensive line, who not only did a number on the 49ers front four, but they also were picking up blitzers with their protections. And Andy Reid called a good game, and Patrick Mahomes did everything you would want your franchise quarterback to do to help them win the game and jump out early. All those weapons, it's just that's a juggernaut of an offense right now. It's bordering on greatest show on turf, I think, this season. They're going to keep doing some big things. It's not going to be as crazy probably as it has been for the first 3 weeks, which is record-setting production for that offense and for Patrick Mahomes as a passing quarterback and passing touchdowns. And the NFL's never seen this much production in 3 weeks. So it's going to slow down at least a little bit. But that offense is for real, and it's here to stay. And if the defense does their job, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be there at the end of the season fighting for something in the playoffs and deep into the playoffs. That offense is absolutely for real. And real quick, before I jump into the game notes, I want to go to Twitter because my guy Kruger wanted me to make sure I included some things in my recap of this game, and I agreed with him. And his tweet was, "I'm hoping that your game recap notes the awful self-inflicted opening errors. Didn't take the touchback on the opening kickoff, resulted in lost field position, a dropped first down by George Kittle, shanked punt, downhill from there. As losing teams do, they screw up the little things." And I wanted to include that tweet in this because he's absolutely right. And I have all of those things in the notes, but I'm going to have to condense these game notes just because I've got so much other stuff to talk about here with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. But he's absolutely right. The 49ers were sloppy. They didn't play like a good team. They didn't come out playing like a team that was going to win. And I thought they were going to get absolutely boat raced for a while, that this was going to be just a crazy blowout because the 49ers were getting penalized like awful teams do. Like, that's the penalties is like, that's number one. That's even before Jimmy Garoppolo. If you're just gonna get penalized like that, I mean, how do you expect to win a football game? So it comes from the coaching all the way down. They've got to tighten some things up, and this team was sloppy. They look like 11 guys out there and not one cohesive unit. And I've talked about the offense, and especially the offensive line, needing to play like one unit rather than five separate guys. But offensively and defensively, that team looked like 22 players and not like an offense and a defense that was playing the same scheme together. At certain times, the offensive line did get things together, and the offense kind of started to move in the second half. But more on that stuff later. First, I got to let you guys know about MyBookie. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. Well, you know what? Take that back. I think I'm 3-for-3 right now on calling these 49ers games, which is reason number one that maybe things aren't as bad as it might seem for 49ers fans. Going through the losses hurts more, and it does something to your psyche as a fan. But if you penciled in W's and L's before the season, the 49ers are going to have a rough go for 7 weeks. 1-2. That's how I had it penciled in to start the season. So Jimmy Garoppolo aside, record-wise, it's not time to panic for the 49ers. But the truth is, I don't always know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They are your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, great reviews online, and their mobile site is a breeze to use. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And since MyBookie is so great, they are slammed with new bettors and want to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join MyBookie now, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that special extra $25 offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play and that additional $25 free play bonus. It's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner and take the extra money. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. So Sunday in Kansas City was already going to be a tough go for the 49ers going against that offense, and they were already shorthanded in the secondary. Safety Jaquaski Tartt was inactive with a shoulder. The other inactives, by the way, Joshua Garnett still out with that dislocated toe. Guard Najee Turan, wide receiver Richie James, unfortunately still, oh man, I wanted to see Richie James get in there. He's a dynamic playmaker. The 49ers could use that right now on offense. Defensive tackle Julian Taylor Offensive tackle Sean Coleman and cornerback Greg Maben. Those were the inactives Sunday for the 49ers. But Jaquaski Tartt being out, the starting strong safety, the starting right cornerback usually, and it's something we found out late in the week last week, that Akella Witherspoon was actually dealing with a bad ankle in that Lions game week two at Levi's Stadium, which is part of the reason why he struggled so much, and he did not, he was active, but he did not start this game. It was actually Jimmy Ward starting at right cornerback, and then Richard Sherman would end up having a heel injury, and he wouldn't play in the second half, so then Akella Witherspoon, who was hurt, but hurt less, would go in and play left cornerback. Then Jimmy Ward got hurt, and then Tarvarius Moore went in and got his first action on defense as a 49er. He had been playing on special teams in the first 2 weeks, but he had not seen the field on defense. So that's what the 49ers were dealing with in the secondary to try to slow down this Chiefs offense. So they were in the hole to begin with. It was going to be a long day, and it was a long day for the 49ers. But Kruger was right. Right out of the gate, the George Kittle drop, 49ers go three and out. And then right away, Chiefs run down the field, score 7 points. 49ers come back. Matt Breida bounces left and takes the ball to midfield. Nice start, right? Well, that drive stalls. Dee Ford gets a sack. Boom. You punt. Kansas City gets the ball back. Quick strike again. 14-0. And the best thing the 49ers have going on offense right now is Matt Breida running the ball. The 49ers were down 14-0. Matt Breida had carried the ball one time. That is not how you draw up a victory on the road for the 49ers. Coming into this game, that is the exact opposite of how you would want the 49ers to start this game. And I'm not saying the 49ers need to come out and just run Matt Breida into a brick wall three times in a row, punt, and then come back and do it again. But I'm just saying, the 49ers were already in a bad game script right out of the gate, going three and out, and then not being able to stop Kansas City from scoring on their first drive. One nice run by Breida, then he was out of the game. Alfred Morris actually got another carry on that second drive. The 49ers drive stalls out. Chiefs come down to score again. 14-0, Matt Breida, their biggest weapon right now on offense. The one thing that they have been able to do in these first few games. And Matt Breida again in this game. And by the way, Matt Breida, props to Matt Breida. A non-contact injury, it looked bad. He was down on the field. He had that knee injury. He leaves the game, and you're thinking, oh, that, I thought that looked worse than the Jimmy Garoppolo knee injury. And I was thinking, oh, there's an ACL. Now Matt Breida is going to be done for the year. And he came back in this game, ended up carrying the ball 10 times for 90 yards. 9 yards per carry. He actually upped his yards per carry from 8.5 in the first 2 weeks that you're thinking. I mean, we're talking about the Chiefs offense and Pat Mahomes not being sustainable. Matt Breida's rushing and yards per carry wasn't sustainable. He actually improved it in this game after leaving with a scary injury. But he would come back and finish the game strong. He only got 10 carries, so he's still working through something. And we'll see how it goes this week for him. He's probably still hurting and going to be limited. Hopefully that's not a bad injury. There's multiple injuries we're going to have to monitor here when we get the report on Monday. But that all goes back to my point. The 49ers in a 14-0 hole had run the ball one time with Matt Breida, which is the one thing the 49ers have had success with so far offensively this season. If the game plan was to force the young quarterback in Pat Mahomes into mistakes by hitting him with a solid pass rush, making things difficult for him for the first time this year, get an early lead with the offense to quiet the Arrowhead crowd, the 49ers really missed on all accounts early in this game, and it put them in a big hole, and it was a hole they weren't able to climb out of. Can we talk about the screen passes for a minute? What was going on there? It seemed like everything Robert Saleh dialed up was just being completely crushed by the Chiefs' offense. The 49ers are getting killed on third and long. No pass rush, and then so if you can't get there with your front four, you got to bring extra blitzers. The blitzers were getting picked up. They were dialing up screen passes at the perfect time. They were doing the screen passes to the opposite side from the rushers, so there was no pressure in the way of getting a screen completed. Multiple screen passes, third and 15, third and 17. There was a screen, tight end screen to Travis Kelce that worked really well for the Chiefs. Just getting bailed out time after time on third and long, and then on top of that, there was that pass interference in the end zone against Kawan Williams, which I did not agree with in the first half, and really just put the 49ers behind the eight ball. So they're already having trouble keeping up with that Chiefs offense. And then when you can't get off the field, when you do get them in third and long situations, and then you're also, they're getting freebies because they're just, I mean, Pat Mahomes was playing with such crazy confidence. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to chuck it down the field. Either my guy's going to make a play, or I'm going to drop a dime into a tight window, or we're going to get a penalty and we'll still be rolling down the field. And that's what happened with that Chiefs offense. The 49ers had no answers for it. And the referees, let's be honest, didn't really help the 49ers, but they were going to lose that game with the referees making bad calls or not. Patrick Mahomes, I mentioned him making history. His 13th touchdown pass of the season was the most in three games to start a season in NFL history. That was before even the end of the first half. So he had a half to go to build on that record that he had already accumulated in 2.5 games, more than any quarterback had ever in NFL history had. 13 touchdown passes in 2.5 games. Unreal the start that Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs passing game is on right now. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh yeah, they still have Kareem Hunt too. And he's just getting these easy little 1 yard runs. 49ers goal line defense getting destroyed at the point of attack. And literally two touchdowns from short yardage, Kareem Hunt walks into the end zone completely untouched, which also can't happen. So that's another thing the 49ers defense needs to clean up is when you get in those goal line short yardage situations, you've got to at least make it difficult on the offense. And at the very, very least, even if they are going to score or convert short first downs, touch the running back. Just like at least somebody get a hand on him. At least make him change his direction and move his feet a little bit. Pretty unreal. The 49ers were just getting blown out every phase of the game, mentally, physically, all the way around in the first half of that game. Some missed tackles. I loved getting Reuben Foster back on the field. I want to talk about that for a second. He did miss a couple tackles early, as did Fred Warner. Fred Warner had a really bad one that was that set up a touchdown. But after those missed tackles, Reuben Foster settled in. He had the bonehead penalty, too, where he hit Mahomes after he slid, which was stupid. But he did show off some of that ability. He made that. It's really becoming a signature play for Reuben Foster. We saw it in the preseason where he followed the crossing route from Tavon Austin after a play action and followed him on the crosser all the way to the opposite sideline and batted down a pass. And he really had a mirrored version of that against wide receiver Chris Connolly, who was, there was a play action by the Chiefs. He was coming on a deeper crosser and Reuben Foster sees it, picks him up, follows him to the sideline, breaks up the play. And it's that kind of play that Reuben Foster can make that not everybody in the NFL can make. He's a special player. He was a little bit loose. You know, he could tell it was his first game of the season. And I think him and Fred Warner together will grow and be even better than we saw on Sunday and be a really rock-solid tandem. So that's a really good thing to take away from this game. Even though they didn't each play their best games, they will start playing a lot better together, I think, especially when they get to know each other. And, you know, and just that whole defense needs to play tighter. There were some things I liked from the first 2 weeks from the 49ers defense. In this one, they just seemed a little bit more loss all the way around. Even DeForest Buckner, who I thought the 49ers could count on being that star player in the middle of that defensive line, he didn't make even close to as many plays as he had the first 2 weeks of the season. So a few telling stats from the halftime, and I'll try to speed this up because I want to get to the Garoppolo stuff, and I've got to give out at least, I think there's at least one game ball I'm going to give out. I don't know how many more than that the 49ers deserve from that football game. But at halftime, the 49ers had 179 total yards, and the Chiefs had 295. So the Chiefs almost doubled them up yardage-wise, but the really telling one, the one that really tells the story of that game and how they were moving the ball, 49ers had 9 first downs. The Chiefs had 23 first downs in that first half. So as bad as the game was going for the 49ers in the first half, in the second half, it really kind of flipped. And the biggest thing was the 49ers came out. Kansas City had the ball. They got a stop. They forced a punt on the Kansas City Chiefs, which for that game was unheard of to that point. And then the 49ers come back. Matt Breida makes his return to the game, which was a very good sign for the 49ers, not only Sunday, but going forward. And right on cue, he has his 6th 20-plus yard run of the season. Marquise Goodwin, he gets forgotten on a crosser and then walks into the end zone uncovered. And then now, all of a sudden, it's 35-16, well, because of the missed extra point, 35-16. And you can sort of squint and think, okay, big play on defense, maybe a pick six, maybe a fumble recovery, you know, some kind of huge play from the defense. 49ers come down and score again, and this is a ball game. And the 49ers came very close to making that a reality. And the Chiefs, though, go into, which is a smart move here, they go into ball control mode, and Mahomes almost makes a crazy 3rd-and-15 play to bail out the offense again on a 3rd-and-long, but Tyreek Hill was out of bounds, and so the 49ers, they do it. They hold serve, and it's a punt. So that's exactly what the 49ers needed. They get 2 stops. They come down to score the first time. Basically, they flipped what Kansas City did to the 49ers to start the game. The 49ers did the same back to start the first half. 14 straight points and 2 stops on the Kansas City offense. That second time, Garoppolo made a beautiful throw, threw into a spot for George Kittle, who broke into his route just as Jimmy was taking a shot, and the ball fell perfectly into Kittle's hands for a first down. Kittle made a lot of plays in that second half, and you know who else came to play in that second half was Alfred Morris, who again was sharing. Actually, Alfred Morris had more carries than Matt Breida in that game, and then even when Breida came back, Alfred Morris was still getting a lot of carries, and he was running hard, and he was looking very good. So props to the offensive line for creating holes, both running backs showing up, and giving the 49ers an opportunity to move the ball down the field because the passing game still was not clicking. And Jimmy Garoppolo got sacked 4 more times, and still too many times he was sitting there in the pocket forever, and nobody was getting open, and he still doesn't have that internal clock. What's difficult is you don't want to blame the injury, and I guess we'll go there because we know what happened. The 49ers did not pull out the win. The 49ers were driving down the field at the end, and they were just taking too long to get down there and score, and you could really see how they were running out of time. They needed to make something happen. Jimmy Garoppolo trying to make that thing happen, and he gets sacked in the red zone 2 times, and it's just something you can't do. You got to have an internal clock. You got to throw the ball away. You've got to move your feet, get out of the pocket, do anything you can to not get sacked because that's a killer in the red zone. 49ers had the ball inside the 5-yard line, ended up getting backed out to the 20-yard line after a couple sacks. Then Jimmy Garoppolo drops back, can't find anybody. He scrambles to the left and made a nice little play, got down to about the 10-yard line. Instead of running out of bounds and trying to throw for the end zone on 4th and 10, 4th and goal from the 10-yard line, he makes this last cut to try to stay in bounds. There were 2 defenders there. There was nowhere he was going to go. It was really an ill-advised move. And when it happened, he got hit hard, and he was kind of sitting down for a second. And I tweeted out that it's still part of the developmental process for Jimmy Garoppolo. He hasn't played a lot of NFL football, and he still at times plays like a young quarterback, and that's to be expected for a guy who's only started now 10 games in his NFL career. And then you realize, okay, this is actually a much worse injury than I thought. He just got popped because he stayed in bounds, and it went from being like, okay, bad play on Garoppolo, you know, kind of stupid, don't do that, to being like, oh gosh, this is a season ender. And that leads us to segment number 3 and Jimmy Garoppolo's knee injury. So I'm going to finish up with a few more thoughts about that injury to Jimmy Garoppolo and what that means for the 49ers if he is indeed done for the season. Got to give out some game balls too, but I do also have to tell you guys about Vivid Seats. I was at Levi's Stadium week 2 to watch that Lions game, and if you want to go to Levi's Stadium, catch the 49ers, or you want to go out to see your favorite band, whatever you want to do, go to Vivid Seats. You can attend the concert of your dreams. You can attend any show you want, sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off your orders of $200 or more to save even more money for those new customers. Just go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Locked On 49ers listeners can use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to the game. Okay, I'll finish up some thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo and his injury and what that means for the 49ers, what that means for his career, and then we'll give some game balls out and then we'll get out of here. I want to reference a tweet from Dylan DeSimone after the game, and it was along the same lines of what I was thinking about Garoppolo and his career. at Dylan A. DeSimone. He's a friend of the show. He said, this is even more devastating thinking about Jimmy Garoppolo's career timeline. Sat for 3.5 years behind Brady after being drafted 62nd overall in 2014. Finally gets his own team. Set to start his first full season at age 27. Blows his knee out before week three is up. And it's the one thing that Garoppolo needed to really finish his development as a quarterback. And I mentioned earlier how I was tweeting about how he's a young quarterback and still going through some things and still developing as a player who's only started and played in 10 football games in his NFL career over, well, now it's his fifth season. And that thing is NFL game reps. That's the last bit that he needed. And you can still see some of that, still see some of the nuance that he needs to learn just from being behind center and playing in any scheme, let alone Kyle Shanahan's scheme. And now he has to wait another year. Next year will be his sixth year in the NFL with only 10 career starts under his belt. So that's a huge bummer for Jimmy Garoppolo and his career and his development, because by this time next year, he should have had part of a season of two full off seasons and a full season starting at quarterback and just be ready to go. And if the 49ers weren't going to do it this year and weren't going to make the playoffs, which really looks like it's out the window at this point, if Jimmy Garoppolo is done for the season, next year they should have been ready to hit the ground running and really be just be moving on offense and maybe look a little bit closer to something like what the Chiefs are doing right now this year and just come out hot. And now it's going to be difficult because now you still have a quarterback who's only played 10 NFL games, didn't get this whole season of development and playing in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So there's still going to be some question marks about how good and how good the offense is going to be, how good Jimmy Garoppolo can be in just as a quarterback in general and specifically in Kyle Shanahan's offense when the next season begins in 2019. So that's the huge bummer of it for both Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, and just it just adds that little cloud of doubt going into next season that you would have thought would have got completely wiped out this year. You know, it was going to be close if the 49ers were going to be a team that could make a run and get into the playoffs. And we already knew that the record was going to be a little bit rough to start the season. They had a rough go. 1-2 was what I predicted going in, and I still had the 49ers winning 9, 10, 11 games, and that was still possible. And I guess it's still possible for the 49ers. The schedule does get easier, but it's really hard now to even believe that the 49ers can be a playoff team if Jimmy Garoppolo is indeed done for the year. And so you can kiss that goodbye, and really what you're hoping for now is that the mental reps that Garoppolo gets now throughout the rest of this season can help him, and he's healthy and healed up in time for all of training camp next year so he can get ready and get into game shape and be ready to play week one and play well in week one as the 49ers quarterback. But for now, it's going to be, at least for a short term and maybe for all seasons, going to be C.J. Beathard's team. And as Garoppolo told Beathard in the locker room after the game, lead this team. It's up to C.J. Beathard now. Okay, here we go. Let's give out some game balls. I do have one game ball, and I talked about him already. I want to give a game ball to Matt Breida. His second week in a row, he's going to get a game ball. Ripping off big runs. He's just such a perfect fit for Kyle Shanahan's offense, and he's been one of the true bright spots on offense for the 49ers. And to see him go down and get hurt, thinking he's done, thinking that was an ACL injury, and to see him come back in the game and still pop off these big runs, that was awesome to see. So he's got some toughness. He's got some breakaway ability, and 10 rushes for 90 yards. I didn't even look at the stats. He's still got to be the leading rusher in the NFL, right? After he was already ahead and got 90 yards, I didn't see if anybody had any crazy breakout rushing performances this week. But Matt Breida, you get a game ball for the second week in a row. And I was thinking that was going to be the only game ball, but if the running game is working, that means the offensive line is doing something. The pass protection was a little bit leaky. Dee Ford got in for a couple sacks. Justin Houston got a sack. There was 4 overall sacks. Some of that was Jimmy Garoppolo holding on to the ball maybe too long, but there, you know, Mike Persons hobbling around there, being a tough guy, trying to play through some pretty major injuries. But the running game was still good, and the run blocking was still good. So I want to give, and Alfred Morris had a good game running the ball as well, just under 5 yards per carry. So the offensive line is doing something right, at least in the run game. So got to give those guys a game ball. Offensive line collective, they get a game ball for their run blocking. Matt Breida, run blocking, game balls, and now we just wait. Now we just wait for those MRI results on Jimmy Garoppolo's knee, and I'll be back tomorrow with Nick Winkler, and we'll be getting into all of that, and we'll have some answers, and we'll really know what the deal is with Jimmy Garoppolo if he is indeed, as feared by the team, done for the 2018 season. All right, be back tomorrow with a Winky Tuesday, and then we'll do some Locked On Chargers crossover podcast on Wednesday, then some more guests and a mailbag to finish the week, and we'll talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.